Hello, and welcome to Biohacking with Brittany. I am so thrilled that you are listening to this episode today. I am a registered holistic nutritionist, and I'm also studying advanced fertility nutrition right now. And I'm a biohacker for all of those who are new and don't know that and can't tell by the name. This is a place where I talk about health and wellness and all sorts of things like that. And today's episode is all about the spiritual and intuition aspect of health. This was a really, really fun episode. I really like these ones where we get to kind of dive deeper than just assessing health conditions or issues or tips and recommendations. Like, we went very, very deep in this episode. We talked a lot about self-love and self-discovery and how to connect your mind and your body and how to know when your intuition is off. And we talked about a lot of different women's health issues. So we talked about PCOS and endometriosis, menopause, getting your period when you're younger, like for the first time, going through puberty, everything like that. We talked about hormones. We talked about the body image issues and eating disorders that many women face and why and how that kind of manifests in the body. So it was really interesting to kind of peel back the layers on these really complex topics and actually take a look at the mind, spirit, body connection and not just, hey, how does this show up symptom wise when you're at the doctor? It was really, really interesting to just kind of get her perspective on some of these issues related to the different chakra systems and how we can optimize them as well. So she has a fantastic book. I have the book. I would highly recommend it. If any of this really like speaks to you and you're like, hey, I actually want to dive deeper into this, I'd definitely get her book. It's called Heal From Within, a guidebook to intuitive wellness. And it's pretty eye-opening. I think there's something in there for everybody. She has this glossary in the second part where she kind of goes through all of these different health conditions that you can have and how they are related to different chakras and energy misalignments and the mind and what they kind of represent when they show up in your body. Very, very interesting. I love learning about this type of thing. And I just think that there's so much we don't know, really, when it comes to this stuff. So we dive deep into a lot of, you know, complex topics. And I think this is just one of those episodes that every woman listening could get something out of it. Men as well, for sure. But I kind of steered it towards more like prevalent issues that I see with women and kind of come up in conversations that I'm having. So enjoy this podcast episode. And if you are following me anywhere, you know that I have been working my butt off on my new course that's coming out. I think I'm actually ready to launch it next Monday. Oh my gosh, I cannot believe I'm saying that. And so that would be the 25th of March. And it is just a long time coming. So this is a course that is focused on preconception health and fertility. And how do we optimize those areas through a very holistic lens? So I talk about nutrition and hydration, exercise, lifestyle, biohacks, all of these things that we can kind of optimize. And then I give you a 90-day protocol on what to do. So I didn't want to just create a course that was like, hey, here's a whole bunch of education. And then you're left with, okay, like now what do I do? I wanted to make it very tangible and very action-oriented. So right away, when you get the course, you actually get access to the entire protocol. It is not dripped. It is not, you know, you have to go through each lesson sequentially. It's, you get the entire thing right away so you can navigate quickly and get started today or tomorrow. And I designed it like that for that very reason of, if I was somebody signing up for this course, I would want to know, okay, what do I need to do for 90 days, minimum 90 days? And let me get started as soon as possible. And then the course itself is dripped as you go through it, so sequentially. And so that course itself has all of the science behind it, all the recommendations, the why, the common questions when we're talking about these issues. And yeah, I'm really excited about it. We also have a community aspect to it. So There will be a feed that you can see. There's other members in the course, and it is very interactive. So there's like posts and polls and questions and answers and things like that. And then I will be also bringing in a live Q&As, and those will probably start in May. And then I'll be adding videos and podcast episodes to it as well. And so it'll be kind of like your one-stop shop for everything that you need. And we are also, oh my gosh, we're creating so much. We are creating worksheets as well. So I really want to have downloadable worksheets for you that you can print and put on your fridge, on your mirror, wherever you want, and follow along. So if you're tracking your whole food intake, or how many days sober you've been, or your prenatal intake, or like whatever it is that, whatever habit you're trying to follow, I want all the trackers and all of the pretty cute things that you can print to really help you on that journey. Because again, we want to just make it tangible and actionable so that you can be successful. So that is coming out. My waitlist link is still on my website. I said I would take it down, but I might leave it up for this week. And the course will only be launched to the waitlist next week. It will not be public yet. So you can still join that this week if you want. I see people joining it every day. So that is coming. And then I had people in my DMs be like, hey, when's your course coming out? And I was like, yeah, it's coming. So I'm excited about it. Anyway, enjoy this podcast episode, and a shout out to the sponsors of this week, Lila Quantum Tech. This is all about mitigating the EMF that you have in your home, even when you travel in your car. They create very interesting and effective solutions to EMF. So I have their Infinity Block. I have it in my bedroom. I also have another one in my office. And this helps to neutralize the EMF and the radiation that is around me. I work from home. There are computers everywhere. I'm in an apartment. There's Wi-Fi, there's cell phones, there's 5G, there's Bluetooth, unfortunately. And I am definitely not in a low EMF zone right now where I live. So this has been something that's super important to me and is actually part of the preconception cleanse baby steps. My course that I created is how do we mitigate the harmful impact of EMF on our health? So I love using their products. I really recommend it. They have over 59 research-backed studies that they've done on proving that their products are effective. So you can check that out. That's all on their website. And through the link, you can get a discount on all their products. It's in my show notes and on my website as well, biohackingbrittany.com. And also shout out to my hormone guide that's on sale right now for the spring, 34% off. This was the first guide I made. Actually, it's the only guide I've made. And it's all about balancing your hormones through cycle syncing. So if you've always been interested in cycle syncing, this guide is made for you. And it's fantastic. And I love it. And I love all the positive feedback I get from it. It's a great step for figuring out your menstrual cycle and your hormones if you are like thinking about trying to conceive like a long time from now. But I would argue that if you're thinking about trying to conceive, or you are trying to conceive, you know, even a year from now, I would just get my course instead, because it just makes way more sense for you instead of just trying to manage your cycle. There's way more that you can do than just, you know, cycle sync. So enjoy this episode. This is probably one of my favorite episodes I've recorded this month, and I think a lot of you will love it as well. Please leave a review or rating if you want. You can message me on Instagram if you have questions at biohackingbrittany. I'm also on Threads at Biohacking Brittany. I recently had a call with Meta. Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? I actually should do a podcast intro all about what Meta told me works on social media. It was a very interesting call this morning. So if you actually want my tips, which is just not usually part of my content at all, I'd be happy to help, because I know how hard it is to grow an account. And I'm happy to share what Meta told me. It was surprising. Let me just say that. So slide into my DMs if you want that information. I will send you a voice note, or maybe I'll just send you the email that they sent me. I don't know. I'll do something. I'll help you out. And I have another podcast episode coming out on Friday. We produce podcast episodes every Tuesday and Friday. And I'm all over socials. and have a newsletter. I have everything. I'm everywhere. Okay. I try to be. Enjoy this episode and I will catch you on Friday for another one. Welcome to Biohacking with Brittany. I am thrilled that you are listening today. This is a really important episode because we are diving into an aspect of holistic health that I love, which is all about your intuition, your emotional health, and more of the spiritual side of things. I love having guests on who can really talk to this component, as I am not a specialist at all in this space. And so today I have Katie Beecher joining me, who is a medical and emotional intuitive. She is a licensed professional counselor, and she is also the author behind Heal From Within, which is a guidebook to intuitive wellness. So we're going to dive into her journey and how she kind of overcame these really significant personal struggles and how she helps other people do this in the same kind of way of reclaiming your mind, your body, that connection, and how we can really honestly optimize tapping into our intuition in order to be healthier and live a better life. So Katie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Brittany.
Yeah, I'm excited that you're here. So I would love for you to kind of just start with, you know, an overview of your personal health journey and how you kind of came to this place of thinking, maybe there's something deeper here that I need to look at in order to heal. I know you struggled with depression and an eating disorder, so I'd kind of love to dive into that.
Absolutely. So I think that I always knew from a really, really young age that there was more to life than what we see and what's being presented. And I remember being 3 years old and my parents just had a fight about scrambled eggs, like literally. And looking up at them and hearing this voice that said, these people are not equipped to raise you and you're on your own and there's so much more here than you're being shown. So that was, I don't have a lot of memories from childhood. So to actually remember, that's pretty significant. And as a result of being bullied for going through puberty early and my dysfunctional family, I developed depression and a pretty serious eating disorder. I was bulimic and throwing up 3 times a day, and it was not fun. I decided I didn't want to live anymore. I, you know, really battled that for a good 4 or 5 years at that point and hadn't told anyone, was too ashamed. And I had a suicide plan. I was ready. And then I don't really know why, but one day I just came home from school and said, I'm like done with this whole thing. I want to get better. I don't want to die. So I called her, didn't tell anyone else. I never told anyone, and let him know what I was doing. And he gave me the name of a therapist who is a Jungian therapist, so Carl Jung, J-U-N-G, who fortunately, his philosophies were very open to intuition and mediumship and even astrology and mythology and looking into, you know, he came up with the shadow self concept. So that really made sense to me because I was just starting to get to know some of my intuitive abilities, but didn't know what to do with them. And they were scary. So very long story short, she taught me how to connect to my intuition, how to befriend my symptoms and the eating disorder so they weren't so scary. And I was able to hear their messages and learn from them instead of just being afraid and feeling like there was something wrong with me, and learning about my intuitive abilities. And it was at that time that I knew I wanted to go on and use my experiences to help other people and write my book and become a therapist and all the things. So that's where it all started.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's interesting that you were able to connect your intuition and kind of embrace these psychic and medium abilities. What was that process like for you? And like, how did you get there? And then how do you now, like, how does it influence your counseling practice? Like, does that just come to you when you're meeting with clients one-on-one? Like, how does that kind of all work and tie together?
Yeah, sure. It was a long process. I always just would, even, you know, as I said, when I was young, I would be able to really tune into other people's thoughts and feelings, have sort of out of body experiences where I was observing things that happened in my family that I knew were not right. I was conscious of communicating with dead people on the other side. I had a boyfriend at the time whose dad died, and I picked up information for him. So helped him with some healing. And over time, my abilities have really developed, and they were probably always there, but I just wasn't open and didn't know about them. Like, I didn't really know I had medical intuitive abilities until, I guess, maybe 10 or so years ago. And so currently the way that I work is just knowing someone's name and age, I create a really extensive 4-page report about everything in their entire life that's impacting them positively or negatively. And it's things like now and in the past, and, you know, relationships and traumas and childhood events and physical and emotional symptoms and all that kind of thing. Looking for the root causes of the problems and also strengths that they can use to heal. I create an intuitive soul painting out of watercolor, which also gives me some symbolic information for my guides. And then I send the painting and the report before I meet with people. So I don't know anything. Don't talk to them first. And during our meeting, we discuss everything in there, any questions they have. I get tons more information from my guides, and we work on, you know, developing a plan to help with all the issues that came up. I cannot legally or ethically diagnose, and anyone who does that, it's not okay. But I do identify symptoms and people verify them. And then I have medical professionals that I refer to who I can help, you know, people get actual diagnoses and treatments and things like that. So that's how I operate.
Yeah, I love that. I love the idea of a intuitive soul painting. I think that's really cool, and it's not something I see a lot of. And it's also great that you actually send all of this to the client before you meet with them, because that just shows you how intuitive and how tapped in you really are, because you're able to kind of pick up on all of this just based off of a name and a date of birth, which I think is fascinating. Do you ever encourage clients to potentially explore this idea of painting themselves? Or is that something that you think is better off for someone like you who can kind of tap into these spaces?
That's a great question. And yeah, it's a name and an age. I don't even get a birthday. But a lot of people think that. And I've had people say, well, you know, you can Google people or whatever, or they're, you know, social media. And the stuff that we get into isn't on social media. You can't Google it. You can't. It's so in depth. So actually, part of my book, I teach people how to do the intuitive soul paintings, because it is something anybody can do. And I've actually done workshops on that too. There, you need no artistic ability to do them. And you just kind of, you know, tune in. Like when I do them, I put the person's name down. I start with a color and I just start creating either like something that looks kind of like a figure, or it could be a plant or a flower or an insect or something that symbolizes the person. And so the colors all mean something. The position of the body parts all mean something. You know, sometimes people have wings. Sometimes there's a lot of kind of arrows where, you know, energy is being exchanged, and like red parts of the body. So, for example, a lot of people have been through sexual abuse, and that's a really delicate subject. And so I don't always like to write it on the report, because you don't know who's seeing them, and also like delicate, you know? And so it shows up on the painting sometimes with, you know, redness in the second chakra area. And then we can gently talk about it from there. And it helps to have my counseling background too.
If you're like me, you are thinking about your energy field, you're thinking about radiation, EMF, and 5G around you. And honestly, you're kind of worried about it as well. What if I told you you could just get a product, put it in your house, set it and forget it, and know that you're actually reducing the amount of EMF and radiation around you? That's where Lila Quantum Tech comes in. Their products actually neutralize EMF, even in electric cars. And this is so, so important, because we are so bombarded with the amount of EMF and radiation in today's society. So their key product that I love is their Infinity Block. And it has actually been proven to increase ATP production, which is the energy in our cells, by 20 to 29%. So this really, really does matter. Lila Quantum Tech has over 59 studies, and they actually also have another 6 in progress. They are randomized, placebo-controlled, and double-blind studies proving the great benefits of their products. I really suggest you get this Infinity Block. If you can get something that you can put in your house and say, hey, this is actually helping to neutralize how much EMF me and my family are exposed to, it just makes sense. Why would you not want some sort of safety measure like that that you can count on? They also have a heal capsule, which is like a little capsule that you can bring with you anywhere you go. And it does this same thing, obviously, to a smaller degree and smaller circumference around you. So I like to wear this when I go on planes because there's so much radiation on planes and EMF. And I like to wear it just in general when I travel. Their products have been proven to optimize HRV and improve your blood and obviously ATP production, like I said. So that's what I would do. I would really recommend looking into how you can manage your quantum energy field better, because this is such a key aspect of optimizing your health. You can get a significant discount through the link on my website and also in the show notes, and that will help you be able to get this at a better price. So again, that's Lila Quantum Tech. I have the Infinity Block. It's in my bedroom. I actually sleep right beside it. And then I also have their heal capsule on a necklace that I take with me everywhere I go. And these are the two that I would recommend. I think this is a great starting pack for you and provides substantial coverage in order to neutralize the EMF that's around you and optimize your health. That makes sense. Yeah. You also just don't want to, I don't know, you don't want to come off too strong and like, you know, it's like, I'm sure you pick up on these things, but how do you create an open space for someone to like be safe to talk about it, especially with like sexual abuse and stuff like that? Like those are very, very difficult topics to navigate. I'm curious, when you work with women in this space and through these paintings and through this client work, are there themes that you kind of see or trends or maybe just stuff you've noticed over the years that you're like, oh yeah, I've seen this pattern a lot with women around this age, or maybe just women in general?
Yes, definitely. So the people who contact me for help are, the issues really are, it's a very wide variety of things. Sometimes it's people who know their diagnosis and want help. Sometimes people have symptoms, they have no idea what the root causes are. Sometimes people have no symptoms and they just want help with connecting to intuition or relationships or life purpose. So it's really fun to have a wide variety of people and ages and, you know, countries. I work with people all over the world. But one of the things that I see quite frequently, especially with women, is the need for self-love and self-acceptance and the need to set boundaries and put yourself first and not be so concerned with pleasing others or what other people are thinking. And so, for instance, people will come to me with a physical issue and my guides will bring up the fact that they're really unhappy in their relationship, or they hate their job, or they're really creative and don't do that anymore. So there's a lot of those themes, and often working on the emotional and spiritual stuff is harder than addressing the physical, you know? So, and people are more afraid of it because it means some changes in relationships, or, you know, looking for a new job or doing all these things that are legitimately scary.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting when you're saying that. My husband's mom, so I guess my mother-in-law, came to mind, and she is fabulous. Like, I love her. Like, you know, nothing bad to say. But she grew up with brothers and grew up very much in this space, I think, of not being able to like emotionally share and not being able to open up. And it's very different from how I grew up. And so it's been interesting. I've known her for many years now. It's interesting. She's retired and she's gone through some hard things lately. And she's kind of in this like mental place where she's a little stuck, I would say. Recently, her father passed away and stuff like that. And my husband and I, and, you know, her other son, we are really trying to just like encourage her to start to be able to open up more and like look at therapy, and it's okay to be emotional and it's okay to be upset and we don't always have to like sugarcoat everything and be positive Pollys all the time type of thing. And I remember this one time, we were in New Zealand. It was years ago. It was like 5 years ago. And I was sitting alone with her and I was having lunch with her. And I was asking her about her mom, who I never met, who passed away years ago. And she started crying. And she said to me, she's like, I don't know why I'm crying. My mother passed away, you know, like 15 years ago. Like, where is this coming from? And I was just supporting her and trying to do whatever I could. And I literally think that it's that. It's like, I think she has so many women just kind of put these emotions deep into a place in their body and lock them up and leave them there and just try to make everybody else happy, raise a family, raise boys, like just, you know, and she had a very successful career, right? And so now I'm like, all of these emotions are slowly coming up and it's like, okay, how do you deal with that? Like, how do you connect with these things that you've just been pushing down for 15, 20 years? And I don't know if you have any advice around that, but I think that is something that would be quite common and relatable to a lot of women.
It definitely is. And a few things that I would love to say as a part of every one of my readings, and there's also instructions in the book, but I teach people kind of my own way to connect with intuition. And it's through a written dialogue and also to talk to their symptoms. And so through that process, you get to feel safe. And intuition is about connecting to kind of an energy that gives you unconditional love and acceptance and makes you feel like you have a bodyguard with you all the time. And it helps you ground. So being more self-centered, if you will, makes what other people are doing and saying far less important. Because if you think about a lot of the reasons why people are afraid to express their opinions or emotions, it's because of the reactions of others, you know, and what they've been taught. So connection to intuition is great. And for someone who's held on to things for that long, talk therapy can be a really important part of things, but also things like, you know, art therapy, symbolic things, doing movement. So any kind of movement is lovely, but even, you know, like a dance therapy type of thing, but it doesn't have to be a dance therapy. But because we experience things with our whole body and feel them with our whole body, sometimes just talking doesn't adequately release things or give us the permission. Or also, when you're not connected to your feelings, you often live kind of outside your body. And so you don't feel grounded. And so when you begin to move, there's an immediate connection to the body. You know, it's hard to kind of shut that down. So I find that the whole, you know, using all of those different techniques and just also trying to figure out, you know, who are you? What is your authentic self? And there's tons of aspects to our authentic self. So it's part of what I work with people on too. But there's so many things you can do, and she's lucky to have your support.
Are you confused on how to balance your hormones and understand your cycle? Maybe regulate it, reduce the symptoms that you're dealing with, like PMS, cramping, pain, headaches, insomnia, things like that. I created an ebb and flow menstrual cycle guide that talks all about this, and it is now on sale for the first time in a very, very long time. You can get 34% off with my spring special that I am doing. And I think this is the highest percentage I've actually ever given off on the guide. Typically it's $29 USD and now it is $19. And I really suggest you grab this before the end of March while you can, before the price goes back to normal. So this guide has over 30 different recipes that you can pull from that are all about how to optimize your hormones and sync your cycle. But it also has things like seed cycling in it and learning about the different nutrition and food for every phase of your cycle. There is a workout plan that shows you which workouts are best during which phase. There are lifestyle practices and biohacks, supplements, herbs, and botanicals, and even mental and emotional health recommendations made for each phase of the menstrual cycle. The recipes have calories, carbs, fat, protein, vitamins, and minerals all broken down for you so you can see exactly what you're eating and how it's going to impact your health. Again, I really suggest you grab this while you can during my spring special. It's linked on my website and in my show notes. You can save 34% and get that guide right now. I think this is foundational for every single woman to understand her menstrual cycle and her hormones, especially before fertility or anything like that even comes up, or maybe you're post that phase of life and now you're trying to regulate again. This is also a perfect guide for that. So that is my ebb and flow cycle guide, and I will link it in the show notes and on my website for you. Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's interesting some of the things that you said. So, I mean, this is just such a specific case, but she's not super creative, and like she will tell you that, like those are her words. And so her doing art would be very like, you know, I'm going to connect the dots type of thing. Like it wouldn't be like, oh, I want this color over here. Like it wouldn't be as like intuitive. And then she is very active, but the things that she's active with are things like skiing or curling or stuff like that. Like it's less, or even yoga, but it's following the instructor during yoga and less like, let me do this creative dance class or let me free flow in yoga and meditate. Like it's not really like that. So I noticed that too, is, and I have seen this in other people as well, is like, and it's interesting as well when I pitch these ideas of like, hey, have you tried like meditating, or like maybe we should go do like some sort of cooking class or something. I don't know, whatever it might be. You know, some people just view it as woo woo, right? Like there's this like wall there of, oh, this isn't going to help. This is silly. This is like, there's no science behind this. What do you mean? Like you want me to meditate for 20 minutes a day? Like what's that going to do? And it's so interesting talking to people like that, because there's so much benefit. And if they could just take the first step to kind of get there, then maybe they would see that, I guess.
Exactly. Exactly. And it is about being gentle with people. And I really want people to leave my sessions with a plan. So you're not going to change overnight. And we can do a lot of stuff in this hour, but you're not going to change overnight. But is there one step you can take? Can you do one scary thing? Can you, you know, even like setting boundaries with people, can you maybe wait an hour before you text someone back? Like little baby steps for people who are in relationships they're not happy with. Can you consult an attorney or look up your finances or, you know, looking for a job? Just start looking. Like little baby steps mean a lot, and they can help us to let go of fear and make us feel like we're empowered instead of feeling like these circumstances or people have power over us.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really huge. It's such a journey. And sometimes, unfortunately, it takes like life events or circumstances to drastically change in order for you to be like kind of woken up. And I've seen that with other people in my family where, you know, sometimes it's unfortunate events, but then there comes this healing that probably would not have come if they had just continued day-to-day life. So maybe someone like gets fired from a job, and then suddenly now they're like, okay, like where's my life going? And then there's kind of this like reflection and that type of thing. So sometimes life shakes things up for us, I guess, forces us to grow and change.
I totally agree with you. And it's a necessary part of life. And sometimes people get really angry when you say that and they don't want to hear it, or they think that you're, you know, not being respectful or they're suffering, you know, like when I say that recovering from getting the eating disorder and even getting Lyme and things like that, like they were really important, and really important thing happened as a result. And I'm super grateful for having the eating disorder, even though it was awful. So I can't imagine my life or my work being like this without having gone through those experiences.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So do you have any, I mean, just on the eating disorder note, I don't want to just dismiss that, because that is such a significant issue for so many people. If someone's listening to this and maybe they're recovering from an eating disorder, or maybe they're still in it, do you have any specific advice or recommendations for that health concern that maybe you've seen in your clients and obviously like you've worked through yourself?
Yeah. And there's tons about this in my book too. One of the things I think is essential, now this is my bias, but, and I have to say that my daughter also developed an eating disorder nowhere near as bad as mine, and she's doing amazingly. So there's that. I have a lot of different types of experience with it, but I have learned that the connection to intuition and the connection to self-acceptance and self-love is absolutely an essential part of healing. And it's not enough to just do behavior modification or to, you know, have a food meal plan. Sometimes that can bring you more stress because you're trying to control what you eat instead of intuitive eating and listening to your body. You know, most, like a lot of eating disorder programs really don't get into that very much. And I know that if I had gone into a traditional setting, well, because the last thing I needed was more control. I was already a control freak and it didn't work, you know? So the learning to get to know who you are, being your unique self, having the courage to be different and do different things. And like, there's a huge connection with eating disorders and neurodivergence and creativity, which a lot of people don't know. So it's like our society isn't very kind to people who are different or who think differently or look different or act different. But yet those are the people who go on to invent really cool things and save the world and influence people. And we just, it's like we're afraid of them. So the eating disorder becomes a way to release those, that shame or that pain or the, you know, the fear or that disconnection from other people. So if you can get to know your symptoms and listen to them and talk to them and see them as a, which I know sounds crazy, but that for me, honestly, that is why I'm alive. That's why I'm recovered. And now those tools are so helpful to the people that I've worked with.
Yeah, I love that so much. I haven't been diagnosed with a eating disorder. However, I've definitely had my fair share of body image issues and struggling to look a certain way, especially as a teenager and early 20s and that type of thing. And it honestly becomes a source of control. Like when my personal life, my family life was going through such a hard time, you know, I could control what I ate. I could control what I did on the weekends and who I hung out with and those types of things. And so it's interesting what we kind of turn to when our circumstances around us are not stable, especially when you're younger. So, you know, when I was 16, 17, I didn't know better, right? Like I didn't know better. I was partying so much. I was drinking so much and it was such an outlet for me. And then at the same time, also wanting to look a certain way and going to the gym and eating all these foods and managing what I was eating was also just this like outlet of, I can't control my life, but hey, I can control these things in front of me. And I think that goes hand in hand with the lack of self-love and self-acceptance, because I don't know. Maybe there are people out there, but like 16, 17, like those ages as a girl, like it's very difficult to have unconditional self-love. I still struggle with that at 30. And like, I don't know. So all the teens out there and young women, like you're doing a great job.
I know, it's so hard. And like, people don't, they're so caught up in the high school world or middle school world, even at so young, and they don't realize that like that's not even real life. Like you can get to meet people or find your crowd or, you know, and that you can be, feel a part of. And you brought up a really important point too about the substance abuse, because I think it's helpful to think of eating disorders as the addictions they are. And they're, an addiction really is a way of using things, substances, things, anything to avoid your pain and avoid what you're feeling and avoid being your authentic self. So I think thinking of them using the addiction model makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I'm curious what your take is on people who, how do I say this? I have a friend. I do. It's not me. I have a friend who is a very close friend of mine, and she has struggled with her weight, you know, since I've known her, since university, and significantly, like, you know, she's had significant health issues related to being so significantly overweight. Like, you know, she would say these same things. It's not just me who says this. And so she doesn't listen to this podcast. So she's one of my best friends. Anyway, so she is now signed up for surgery to help with weight. So she's doing the, I'm blanking on the name of it, but when they cut out the certain part of your gut so you can't process food, gastric bypass, that's what she's doing. Yeah. And so she's texting me yesterday, and she got it scheduled for the end of April. And I'm encouraging her, and I want to help her and support her. But at the same time, part of me is like, is this actually going to help heal the overall underlying issues that have caused this? Right. So I don't have experience in this space. I don't have experience with people who've gone to do this type of surgery and then had success or not had success. But I just wonder, when people make these decisions of, hey, I've been overweight for over 10 years and nothing's working, okay, I'm going to do surgery. I just wonder if there's this aspect of like, have you done the work to intuitively connect with yourself? Like, what trauma triggered these overindulgence in eating and these behaviors, right? Like, I don't know if you've had clients like that, but I'm so curious if you can speak to the other end of the spectrum of the eating disorders where people overconsume in order to cope.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really no different than using the weight loss drugs too. You know, I wish your friend would make an appointment with me before she gets her surgery. But so one of the things that when I work with people who've struggled with their weight for a long time, it's very important to look at the for why people maybe gain weight easily or have trouble losing. And there's so many. So even things like polycystic ovarian syndrome or metabolic disorder or, you know, hormone imbalances, or there's so many, number one, physical reasons. And if you can address those and work on correcting those, then you can actually address the problem for a lifetime. So there's that. Emotionally, there's so many reasons. It's an addiction. It's disconnection from the body. It's using certain foods because they help your brain chemicals. So you may be self-medicating with food when you have depression or anxiety. You know, it's really important, again, to get to those root causes. And there are, you know, legitimate things. Like, it's not, definitely not just diet and exercise. And people judgmentally, I think doctors are just sort of like, yeah. But definitely the self-love aspects, and there's so much to it. And people are so hard on themselves, and they think they're fit. And because diets don't work, they don't teach you how to intuitively eat. They don't address the emotional things. They don't address trauma. They don't address stored abuse. I don't judge people for, you know, having surgeries or taking weight loss drugs or, you know, whatever. And there's been areas of my body, even my thighs, that I just could not lose. There was no way in hell. So I had some liposuction, and I'm fine with that. But it was after I had worked a ton on my eating disorder, you know? So I think before doing something like that, or because the weight loss surgery, you can't stop. Like, if you're on the drug, you can stop that. But, or even while you're taking the drug. But it's really important to address those root causes and work on loving yourself, because I'm sure you've heard so many horror stories about people who have the surgery and then they end up, you know, their health is really in jeopardy because they don't change the way they're eating and they end up really sick.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard when we look at things like this, because on the one hand, the surgery, if you can stick to it and get the benefits from it, it can help you be healthier, right? Like it can reduce your all-cause mortality, help with cardiovascular, like there are benefits, right? But at the same time, I always try to think about like the root cause of things. And surgery is such a significant decision, whatever surgery that you're doing, that I always think it should be like bottom of the list. Like, let's go through a complete holistic health healing for a few years. Like, get an acupuncturist, get the right supplements, get a coach, get, you know, like really, really just dig into things. But to be honest, and I'm not saying this about my friend, but other people, like, it's too much work to do that. It's too much money. It's too much time. It's too much effort. And it's easier to be like, hey, I'm going to get the surgery and then I'm going to get the same results. And then, yeah, I don't have to like be as concerned about it. So do you have that kind of come up in other ways where people are like, yeah, I mean, I could do self-love, but like, that seems like a lot of work and I'm just going to turn Netflix on instead.
Oh my goodness. Yes. And even things like, so weight, for example, symbolically, it can be a protection from the rest of the world. If you have trouble setting boundaries, boundary setting is hard because it means risking rejection and, you know, how the world sees you. Weight can also be about physically being seen and heard. You are a bigger person. You're just stronger. If you don't feel comfortable being your true self or, you know, expressing your feelings, that's another way of people seeing you and not being able to ignore you, right? So, and that totally applies to literally every single emotional and physical health situation. There's always more to it. There's always more than just, you know, taking a pill or just going for therapy, which is hard work. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, people are like, it's going to take too long or it's going to change my life. People will get pissed off at me or I don't know where to start, or legitimate things like being afraid of divorce because of financial reasons. So, you know, I help people through that. And, you know, how are my kids going to feel if I get divorced and leave this horrible relationship? And I'm like, well, if you die from your illness, they're going to feel worse. So, you know, yes, all the time, all the time. And honestly, I think we're all guilty of it. And we live in a society of quick fixes and they don't work.
Yeah, they really don't work. And yeah, at one point you just get frustrated, right? Like you're, and I've been there with different health issues that I've had of, you can't ignore it. You can't ignore and just turn on Netflix and pretend that it's going to go away every single day. Like there comes a point where you either feel so sick or you look so sick or the symptom is so bad that you're like, okay, I'm actually going to do something about it now. And again, sometimes it just takes people getting to that kind of rock bottom place for them to do something. But as crappy as that is, like it is actually very motivating. So I don't know. On the one hand, it's like, yeah, sad that we have to get there, but also it is beneficial. So I would love to dive into one component of your book that I really loved, and it's this glossary of healing that you have. It's part two in your book. And essentially, you go through all of these different health issues and conditions that people can have, like all types of things, like, you know, fertility, which we're going to talk about, skin. I think, yeah, there's like a bunch of different things. Yeah. And you relate it to the different chakras in the body. So I would love to kind of dive into the fertility, PCOS, endometriosis, menstrual cycle problems that you've seen, and kind of like specifically for those conditions, what you would recommend for women who are struggling in that space.
Yeah. So those, they're involved in a lot of different chakras, but sort of the most obvious chakra will be the second, which has to do with reproductive organs and, you know, intestines and gallbladders and hips, those kind of things. So in my book, there's a chart for every chakra and then talks specifically about different issues. And so kind of overall with women who have these things, it's not uncommon for there to be sexual abuse or growing up in a family where your feminine energy and power is feared or pushed down. So there may be, you know, misogynistic views and women who didn't feel very powerful. And with fertility and stuff, and actually all of those things, it's being cut off from your sexuality too. Like, you know, sexuality is healthy. And there's a shame factor involved in our society of even like my addiction is pole and aerial. And sometimes I'll put up a pole video and people are like, oh my God, no, that's dirty and it's awful. And it's like, it's a sport for work, right? But it's also okay to be sexy. There's nothing wrong with that. So things like with fertility to explore, you know, how do you feel about being a parent? Are you afraid of repeating the cycle of things that happened when you were young? How is your marriage? You know, are you in a relationship that makes you, or relationship doesn't have to be marriage, but, you know, how do you feel in it? Are you happy, or is having a baby a way to kind of make you feel closer or, you know, needed or loved? Or, and like the PCOS thing is super fascinating also, because a lot of that has to do with metabolic disorders. So people think it's just, it is about too much testosterone and hormonal issues, but it's also about, you know, how your body. The second chakra is something that comes up an awful lot, especially in women, because our reproductive area is so charged. And, you know, even just like I was bullied, for example, for getting my period when I was 10. It wasn't okay to have boobs and to have hair and to be a female. So I ended up being afraid of being female and, you know, not, and hating my body and not wanting that attention. So there's so much to it. And something that I encounter a lot related to every chakra, but especially these, is something called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, or clinical hypermobility. And it's something that's genetic. A lot of people have no idea. So again, we're back to the root cause stuff, emotional, physical, and spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting that you say that. I actually just saw a video about PCOS, and it was saying that there is a new study that came out that has found a link between women who have PCOS and linking it to childhood or early teenagehood, either sexual abuse, assault, or I forgot the other word they used, but maybe like shame type of thing. And I have like mild PCOS. I have friends who have actually very significant PCOS that kind of like really can rule their life. And I 100% have seen this and heard this in my conversations with them of, you know, when you were a kid, or like maybe kid is, I don't know, maybe it is kids for some people, but that kind of that growing up period where you are becoming more of a woman, you're going through getting your period, your body's changing. And there can be a lot of shame around that. Like you were saying of like, oh, you're so early, or maybe some woman it's later, like, oh, what, like, why hasn't this happened to you yet? Like, you know, you're getting your period so much later in life. Like you still look like a boy or something. Who knows what they say, right? But there can be so much charge around that transition from girls to womanhood. And it's sad. And then to think that that could cause this emotional distress that then stores in our body, that then shows up as PCOS in our late 20s, 30s, which then shows up as fertility issues as well, is like mind boggling that that's kind of how that can work in the body, like years later, right? Like that's, and then it's just, it, when I think about stuff like that, I think, wow, like we really need to be healing on such a deeper level than we think, like such a deeper level. Like, what was your childhood like? What, like, and who are you going to talk to about these questions, right? Like, I don't know. There's so much to unpack, really.
So spiritually, it makes absolute sense, because part of PCOS is that you produce proportionally too much testosterone. Testosterone is the male hormone. So your femaleness has been pushed down, shamed, you know, et cetera. So your body's response and your spirit's response is to say, I'm going to really load up on this male energy and I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to be kind of a lot of PCOS characteristics are things like, you know, hair in male places and male characteristics and things. So it's like you're going against that female energy that you feel to be wrong or shameful, or that's literally causing you pain, you know? It's really fascinating. I love this stuff.
Yeah. And honestly, like embracing your femininity is, there are little things that you can actually do every day to kind of trigger that. So even like putting on lipstick can help, or putting on a dress instead of wearing pants every day. Like it sounds so silly, but there are these like psychological triggers that we can do that kind of remind us like, oh, I am feminine. Like I am a woman and I can be successful in my career and in my family, but still be feminine at the same time. And that is a very difficult thing to kind of understand and pull off, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. Like for me, part of that is my love for plants and gardening and flowers and connection to Mother Earth, you know? And a lot of the things you do are subtle, but they make a huge difference. And that's why I love the symbolic part of healing. And that's why Jungian psychology was so effective for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Flowers and gardening. That's a great example. Like even just having a bouquet of flowers in the house, I feel more feminine for sure. Like it, the house feels like warmer, more inviting. Right. So I'm, that might not be true for everybody, but like, how do we, yeah, find those things that kind of trigger those thoughts if this is something that you're struggling with?
Creativity too.
Yeah. Creativity as well. Absolutely. And on the flip side, with women who are going through menopause and potentially struggling in this space, so maybe it has come earlier than they thought, or maybe they are having significant hot flashes, or mentally they're struggling with the decline in hormones. What have you kind of seen there, if anything, of, you know, women who kind of glide through menopause and women who struggle a bit more?
I hate the ones who glide through it now. So, well, and this is also applies to perimenopause too, which can start even in your 30s, because after 30, there's a hormone called DHEA that we make less. And a lot of people know that they have hormone imbalances. Maybe they're not old enough to call it perimenopause or whatever, but it kind of applies to all ages. And one thing is to remember that everyone's experience with getting older is different. Hormonally, it's different. If you have certain issues like Ehlers-Danlos or PCOS or any kinds of things, or autoimmune disorders, thyroid disorders, all of that stuff, even stress. Stress is a really important one. All of those things can impact your hormones and how your body is using the hormones. So it's very important to be open to what you're feeling, to what I think it's really helpful to work with a physician or an acupuncturist or somebody who is familiar and open to things like bioidentical hormones, because they're more likely to look at your symptoms and how you're doing rather than just standard blood tests, which can be a little bit of a guide, but they really don't tell you a lot. And they, like, for instance, I take testosterone and estrogen and other things, but my doctor doesn't just go by blood tests. She's like, how are you feeling? How are you doing with this? My dose is different than somebody else's dose. So I think being really open to different things that can help. And there's a ton of things. So movement, stress relief, like I said, you know, acupuncture stuff, looking at hormones. I think cancer history, for example, can't use bioidentical hormones. And I was having, I hate drug commercials, but there was a commercial the other day about for people who cannot use hormones that can address hot flashes with other types of, you know, medication that's safe for people who have a history of cancer and things like that. So, and there's herbs and there's, you know, so I think just being kind to yourself, being open about symptoms, talking to other people because you're normal. You just feel weird all the time. So yeah, just again, back to that self-love, self-acceptance, being one with your body and getting to know yourself thing.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's really smart. And yeah, I've kind of helped my mom in that way of, you know, bioidentical hormones and things like that. There are solutions out there for sure. You just kind of have to do research and find people you trust. And it's way more accessible now, which is good, than it once was. So you just have to kind of take the ownership and responsibility and look into it. I would love for you to tell us where clients can connect with you, potential clients can connect with you, or if people want to get your book, how can they do that? Because I definitely think some women or some people are going to reach out after this.
Yes, that would be lovely. The easiest way is my website, which is katiebeecher.com. I am on Instagram and Facebook and Katie Beecher Medical Intuitive. And my book is found internationally. It's on Amazon. It's kind of everywhere. Books are sold, Barnes and Noble, and you can have bookstores order it for you and things. And in the book, there's a lot of visual cues, visual information, visual tools. There's painting. So I always recommend, if you can, to get the actual book form. And it's designed to kind of go back to again and again. And that can be hard with audio, but a lot of people are ordering both. They really like the audio thing, and then they can use the physical book for, you know, additional information.
Yeah, absolutely. I will link that in the show notes and put it on my website as well, so people can easily find you. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. This was great. And it was awesome just to chat and talk about these things.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Biohacking with Brittany. If you're interested in finding the show notes or the sponsors for this episode, you can do so on my website, which is biohackingbrittany.com. Remember to follow me on Instagram, where I'm most active. My handle is @biohackingbrittany. And if you're interested in working together and you want to email me directly, you can do that. My email is info@biohackingbrittany.com. And I look forward to hearing from you and having you tune in next week.